Hey, everybody, it's your host, Barrett Dudley. Thank you for tuning in to Club Cool today. I know it's been a few weeks since we released an episode. I do apologize for that. It has been extremely hectic, extremely busy. And then, if you listen to any of my other podcasts, then you might know this already. But I also had I had my very first bout with the invisible enemy. I contracted the virus, unfortunately. So really, towards the end of this week, it has been the first opportunity I've had to even get out of the house and be back on the streets and feeling good. But I am back. I'm out. There wasn't time to get together with any of the hosts this week, though. So what I've got instead is an episode that Clayton and I kind of got in the tank several weeks back. We recorded this in January, but it's all pretty evergreen content. We fielded some listener questions, talked about a whole bunch of stuff. If any of it is now dated over the last few weeks, I do apologize. But again, I think it's all pretty general and broad talk about style, fashion, pop culture. We also played like a little bit of 20 questions, a kind of a get to know session to just open up the book on co-host Clayton. So, this has obviously been a big week in streetwear with the drop one for Amelie Leon Dore's spring summer 2022 collection, which is always kind of, I mean, to be honest, it's kind of like Christmas around these parts. The internet just it gets buzzing in very specific niche corners of men's streetwear style and fashion. And so I will talk about that. We'll break that down, give our thoughts next week. But today we're going to have to run with this one that we've already recorded. So check it out. Please enjoy. Thank you for listening. And we will be back with fresh content very, very soon.
Welcome to the club.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back for another edition of the Club Cool podcast. I am your host, Barrett Dudley, and I'm here, brought to you by Watch Media in the Lodge at the intersection of style and pop culture. And joining me once again, it's Clayton Chambers. Clayton, good to have you back.
Good to be here, as always.
What's going on with you, man? We spoke a little bit earlier, and it sounds like you've got some you had some pizza dough that you were flinging up in the air, you know, working it out. You were gonna do some za on the Traeger. But little did I know, Traegers, they've got a digital component. Your Traeger is telling you it can't be done.
Man, if this is probably not the most first world problems, I was planning on making a pizza in my Traeger, which is something you can do. For those of you who have Traegers, you would know this is possible. And I get a notification on my mobile app after I turned it on to start preheating that I gotta do a grease trap cleaning, which I don't really know what a grease trap cleaning is. I just bought this grill, right? So that's the other thing, is like I've cooked on it twice. And for there to be a greasy grease trap is confusing to me. So
that is, I agree, that's weird that after two times it thinks it already needs a cleaning. But isn't a Traeger, isn't that like little charcoal briquette type things or something like that?
Well, yeah, so there, I mean, there's a couple things with Traeger that's different. It's first and foremost Wi-Fi powered, so
I had no idea. I thought a Traeger was like very lo-fi, like, you know, like
is,
like,
yeah,
one step away from a little, you know, satellite looking Weber charcoal grill.
It is a grill that looks like a smoker and functions as an electronic grill. That's a pretty crazy thing. And it all connects through Wi-Fi. So
I mean, obviously,
you connect it through an outlet in the wall once it turns on. And then you have these things called pellets. They're like small, they almost look like pills that you would ingest, but instead you ingest them into the Traeger, and they're all different flavored. So you have like hickory smoked pellets, you got regular standard flavored ones, which I don't really know what that is. You got mesquite. You got all sorts of different kinds of pellets that you can throw in the Traeger. So that feeds the Traeger and then generates heat through the flame. And then obviously that's how it gets hot. But you can adjust everything through this mobile app, right? And so you can find recipes, you can set the temperature that you want, you can set reminders for when you need to check on it, or you can set reminders for when you need to adjust the temperature and it'll do it automatically. Like, it's a whole thing.
This is a much higher tech device than I realized, but I think I'm even more intrigued now.
There's a reason that Traeger's gotten a lot of hype over the years. It really is like a top-notch grill. So
yeah, that's pretty sweet. Well, I'm sorry that you won't be able to finish your za off in the Traeger this evening. Did you know za making pizza, that's the glue that binds this community here. Phil, he's a big pizza boy. I recently just got a pizza stone, my first ever pizza stone. Yeah. And I had to also, I got the stone. The stone wasn't working that well because I also needed the peel. Do you have the shovel thing that you put the pizza on?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
So that otherwise you're just like using like four different spatulas and it's kind of, it's kind of a mess out there. But this pursuit of grilling and making your own pizza, this is really what the podcast is all about.
We should do a little research on our own and find what kind of pizza ovens we're interested in, because
there was that one brand, what was it, Uni? The O-O-N-I, these things were like selling like they were PlayStation 5s on eBay.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think that was the brand that was like that they were selling out as soon as places put them online, and
I'm looking at
and had a little recent market going.
Says they got one in stock, Uni pizza ovens, 3-year warranty. I would love an Uni, man. That's going to be my probably summertime, maybe for next fall.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll make that kind of purchase. And because, Traeger's fine, oven's fine. But what about an Uni,
You need them all. How about a Big Green Egg?
You need something for everything.
How about a Komodo Joe? I mean, you got to get all these devices here in the mix if you're...
All the gadgets.
If you're really going to nail down what the best way to make a pizza is, I think. Clayton, it's good to have you back. Last month, we had a lot of industry news going on. We took a broad look at like 2022 in general as far as style. Today, we're going to lighten things up a little bit more. I've got some general questions for you just to kind of give our listeners a little bit more of like a base for just things that you like and don't like, style notwithstanding. So I'm going to ask you we're going to play a short little game where I just ask you some fun questions. And then we do have some listener questions and prompts from our wonderful audience that are more style focused, and we'll kind of we'll field some of those questions and talk a little bit about our personal style and just some kind of broad overall style questions as well. But you ready to jump in here? You ready to get started?
Let's peel back the onion layers, man.
Okay. Let's do it. If for those of you that have heard, Clayton's guest appearances on the pod from last year, then you might know Clayton is from the South, spent time in Texas, California, New York, now lives in Nashville, Tennessee. So that's where you've lived, but what's your favorite big city in the US, and then give me one of your favorites that's like smaller, maybe a little bit more off the radar. And I've got a couple answers here for you as well.
I mean, I think it's probably got to be the obvious one, New York. If we're going to go in the States, I'm going to say New York. I mean, that's just like, so I went to school in New York for 4 years. Spent a lot of time there, obviously left and then moved back between 2018 and 2020. So when I went to Austin for that like short year stint where I met you initially, I had just come from Brooklyn. So I spent about 6 years all told in New York between Manhattan and Brooklyn, and have lived in all kinds of apartments and neighborhoods. And I don't know, New York for me is kind of the city that I feel like changed me, has molded me into the person I am. And, there's no other place like it in the US, honestly. So I'm going with New York.
I agree with all that. It's kind of like that's my answer as well. If I'm just like going right from the gut, if I'm just saying like what my favorite US city is, but there's just nothing really like it. And it's just an amazing place to be no matter the time of the year. It's fun to be there when it's brick cold and it's fun to sweat in the summer and go to a Yankees game. Like, you know, it's such a fun city that like the weather extremes almost like don't hurt as bad. But I'll drop in this caveat that when I am in New York, as much as I like to think about myself being able to live there, there's also like a big part of me that's like, I couldn't do it. And the city where I don't really have that reaction, the city where I'm just like, I would like to live here straight up, is Chicago. Now, you know, it's February. It's the dead of winter. And so everybody listening to this in Chicago is like, nah, you don't want that. You don't want no part of this, Dewey.
Don't want that life.
And they might be right. I might not. Mm-hmm. I might not be able to handle it. But whenever I'm in Chicago, that's the city that I think is the best, you know, kind of mix of like, I love this place. It has all the things that I really, really love. And I actually think that I could live here. You know, given
100%.
Practical and logistical parameters. So that's kind of my one B.
No, I completely get that. I've been to Chicago a couple times and enjoyed the vibe there. I need to spend more time there. It's not a city that sort of struck me as like, oh, this is a place that I need to be. But it's certainly a city that has a lot of fun stuff, a lot of interesting people, a lot of culture to it. And I think that's, you know, for everybody, like you kind of stumble on those cities based on your own travel and experiences, right? And a lot of this stuff is just subjective. And, you know, the way a city touches you, the way a city leaves you is all completely, you know, relative and contextual, right? And I think that, you know, for me with New York, for example, it's like, that's the city where I actually feel the most comfortable, which is funny because the paradox of it is that it's the least comfortable
city.
It's
not a very comfortable city. Yeah.
Everything about it is uncomfortable. Uh-huh. And yet it's the one place where I constantly find myself coming back to and being like, oh, this is the place that, it feels like it's a part of me and I'm a part of it. And, you know, it sort of teaches you its lessons and then you go and you move somewhere else. And then you come back and it like welcomes you with open arms again. Right. And so, you know, not to get too all up in the metaphors, but like, that's how I feel about New York. Yeah. You know?
What about something, what about a smaller place or more off the beaten path? Something that isn't, you know, kind of as obvious as Chicago or New York. You got anything?
Yeah. I mean, again, if we're talking the States,
you can go outside of the States. If what comes to mind is not something here.
No, we can go to Massachusetts. I mean, yeah, if we're talking the States, places like Asheville, North Carolina are beautiful to me. I mean, being in that part of the Blue Ridge, I was born in East Tennessee. And so that little strip of America where you're kind of like on the borders of Appalachian Mountains and Blue Ridge and just the Four Seasons. And
that's really funny. Asheville is exactly what I was going to say. Carolina is what I was going to say. So maybe it's not as off the beaten path or you know, kind of under the radar as I thought. But man, I spent a long weekend in Asheville and mountain biked and hung out at breweries and like, you know, did the Vanderbilt thing.
It's a good vibe.
And it was awesome. It was really, really cool. It was easy to feel at home very quickly.
Yeah, Asheville. I mean, Asheville's got a great vibe to it. Across the board, I think Portland, Maine's another place that I really love. And spend, you know, a lot of time. I went to Santa Fe, which isn't really a big city in my opinion. And
I think that counts.
Loved that. Loved that area as well. And so, yeah, it's weird because like each, I appreciate, you know, them for different reasons. And sometimes, you know, you want that kind of like quintessential like mountain and, you know, peak fall vibe, or like if you think about you know, Portland and going up in the summer, like the beautiful like New England weather there, it's just like unbeatable. Upstate New York is also, I mean, just a beautiful area. I used to go up and do kind of weekend trips.
Talking like the Catskills, the Finger Lakes.
Some Catskills, but also like the Adirondacks. If you go even, you know, farther up there, there's just some like beautiful untouched pieces of nature.
I have not gotten to do much of that, like that kind of deep East Coast stuff. That's one area where I'm really not too familiar with, but it always looks good when I see it, you know, in TV and film and photos and wherever. All right. Well, so that's places that we love. What about places we want to vacation. Where? What's next on your list? Where would you like to vacation to next? And please feel to go as international as you wish on this. Or you can say that, you know, you want to go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I don't know.
Do a little Mardi Gras.
Yeah, do a little Mardi Gras, maybe a little
hot and sweaty swamp.
Catfish noodling. Yeah.
crawfish broil. Anywhere in and around the Mediterranean Sea for me is like top notch. So I spend a little time there, you know, whether it's like, did a great trip, you know, around and through Portugal 1 year. That was great. Spent some time in Turkey, on like the western side near some of like the Greek islands and that kind of stuff. And I don't know, man, there's just like this attitude, vibe, culture. It's, I don't know if it's the history or if it's just, there's just this whole attitude around, you know, Mediterranean life and culture, the clear blue water, just the beautiful, like sunny days, like the dry heat, the like ocean food that you get, like whether it's the fish and the fresh salads and that, I mean, I don't know, just that whole culture, you know, I'd be happy with any of those places.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, just Mediterranean Amalfi Coast is obviously a super, super desirable area, but just Italy in general, I've never really been. And I think coastal Italy is the most attractive to me, but I would also just like to go get those, you know, what was the show, Aziz Ansari's show on Netflix? Why can't I not think of the name of it right now? It was season two, Master of None. Season 2, he was living in Italy and just very, very, very good vibes. The other thing that like, this is, you know, this is long-term, probably not near future, but I would really like to go do Australia and New Zealand. And then it's like, you kind of need 3 weeks for that trip. And so while you're there and while you're all the way over there, you might as well just like tack on another 10 days to do like Bali and the Southern Pacific and all that stuff that's super hard to get
to. That's a great route.
So that area is really, I think, is like really, really high on my list right now.
The only area that I've, or the only place that I've been over in that part of the world is Hong Kong one time. That was the first place that I ever went internationally. And like my wife's been to Fiji and New Zealand and Australia and stuff like that, and just said that it was like unbelievable. So that's high on the list, but that's a good route too. Bali, I've heard, and I think it's Indonesia, right? Like I've heard that's a beautiful part of the world. So, you know, got high ticket items to knock off our travel bucket.
Absolutely. Yeah. Start the savings account now. You mentioned your wife, so let's segue into some entertainment stuff because I'm going to rope her in here. Are you and Hope big TV watchers? You guys sit down on the couch and check stuff out? What are y'all watching these days?
Well, we didn't used to be. We haven't ever had a TV in our house until we bought a place last summer. So
is that just from like the kind of the nomadic kind of lifestyle that you guys were?
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things where just always like a pain in the ass to like pack the TV and unpack the TV and mount it and like all this stuff. Yeah. And I've never been like a huge gadget head myself. And so it's like, yeah, sure, I appreciate TV and I'll watch sports or whatever, like watch a movie or whatever. But like, I've just never really been into like, oh, I have to get the perfect TV when we settle our new place. So like, we just never did it. But we bought a TV, when we settled into Nashville last summer, and we've been watching a ton of shit. So did the American impeachment series with OJ. We did the OJ Simpson's trial. We did the Bill and Monica.
Yeah.
Trial, which like
true crime type stuff.
Like both of those are just stupid, crazy shows. First off, because like I grew up, I mean, I was a baby essentially when those things were happening. So it's like crazy to look back on that part of history and be like, wow, this was real stuff that was really happening. Like, well, this is not made up. You know what I mean?
The next one that's coming out in like two or that just came out, since we're talking and technically it'll be February, is the, and it's right from that same era, pulled from the headlines of the mid 90s, is the Pam and Tommy.
Oh shit! Yeah,
one that's coming on Hulu. So that's I'm looking forward to that one. The cast is pretty cool: Sebastian Stan, Lily James, Seth Rogen, a couple other names that are slipping my mind right now. But it has the same vibe of like pulling from that exact time frame right there in the 90s that is kind of like, you know, very nostalgic for a lot of people, but also inspirational when it comes to like what we're doing and wearing and watching and all of that. So that could be a good one as well.
So good. I'm going to check out that one. Yeah, we did. We're always kind of on the Sex and City reruns as well.
Are you like watching the new one? Are you watching And Just Like That?
I mean, obviously. And it's bad,
dude.
It's really, really bad.
It is, but I am thoroughly enjoying it. I got to tell you, man, we just talked about New York. Any show where New York is kind of like a character in and of itself, or where you get a lot of street shots of New York, or like a lot of just like, I always love that just because that's just always fun to see and kind of put yourself in. And this season of television has had a lot of that. And while it is not what I would call high quality television, it has been fun. I'm always joking with Laura that they really should not have named it And Just Like That. They should have named it White Women Learning Things.
Yeah. That's a whole other like piece to like modern television that I think is just, it's just big time cringe to like watch unfold, is like how writers are trying to portray middle to like getting up into their older weight, like age women,
totally,
in their understanding of like the culture, right?
Yes.
And it doesn't always like writers and producers are sort of like trying to project what they think modern culture is like in these shows. And I think like sometimes it comes off a little bit like cheesy and cringy to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very, this show doesn't do, that's a really hard thing to touch on in like a subtle way.
Yeah. And,
you know, it just lends itself to being like really on the nose or really pedantic or really just kind of like, you can just see the cards that they're playing. Right. And they don't do a wonderful job with it, but I think that the characters are still endearing enough that they're kind of getting away with it. And I don't know whether they're supposed to continue the show on for another couple of seasons or whatever, like
I really hope not
with the characters in their,
for all of our sakes,
you know, in their middle age. But I could see them getting better at it, or maybe even feeling like they didn't have to do quite so much of it as they're clearly doing in this season. But you know, it's fun to see. It's fun to watch the clothing, the style, the wardrobe is really fun to see on the characters as well.
The Peloton whiplash was, or like backlash was, actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then within days, I think they had a big, you know, on like a Peloton commercial or something like that, where he was like portraying that he had like made it to heaven or something.
Oh, God.
And he was like in heaven with with the trainer from Peloton that he was in love with.
Yeah. And then they probably had to pull that one immediately as well, since Chris Noth was swiftly canceled after that. Yeah,
big time canceled. Yeah.
What about any reality type stuff? You guys like part of Bachelor Nation or any Real Housewives, anything like that?
I stay off that stuff. It's really bad for my brain.
Yeah, it is. We also dropped Bachelor and Bachelorette, and it's been it's a pretty nice weight lifted off of our shoulders. So that's I don't miss it. And I'm with you. When you did not have a TV, were you reading a lot of books? Are you a reader?
I go in and out of spurts. And I always try to keep a couple books on hand, 'cause I get pretty bored fast with reading.
Yeah.
I'm a slow reader, number one, and I lose interest in stuff pretty quickly. So I will either find a book, you know, on occasion that I just blow through and, you know, absolutely loved it. And there's others where I can't get into it. I got to stop at a certain point. But I mean, the current rotation I've got right now, I'm looking over Reading a parenting book called Hunt, Gather, Parent, for any of you who are going to be parents, or already are parents. But yeah, it's an interesting book about, well, it's a psychology book trying to dissect the different ways that parents parent based on the cultures that they're like raised in, and how like America or in the West specifically, like we have these parenting norms and cultural parenting norms that are like way different from like literally the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. Like there's mm-hmm. how the whole world essentially parents or more or less overlap, you know, in all these different countries. And then there's the way that like Americans parent. And it's like a very like heavily commercialized way of parenting too. It's like driven by like buying products and things for your kid and like all this other stuff. And it's really only been the last like 150 years where like parents have actually started raising their kids this way. And so mm-hmm. that's an interesting book. I'm actually rereading parts of like, This Is Not a T-Shirt with Bobby Hundreds.
Bobby Hundreds, yep, yep.
And just his story. I'm always like, I don't know, I'm always really inspired by his journey and how he kind of built up the Hundreds as a streetwear brand out in LA, and just, I don't know, all the struggles and like things that he learned back before, like there was no playbook, you know? And so I'm fascinated by that book. And then another book I'm reading is actually, it's really probably more of like a sociological book, sociology book called Everything Now. It's by a guy named Rosecrans Baldwin. And it is a book about what he calls the city state of Los Angeles. And so he's like sort of prefaced the book by saying like he's lived in cities all over the world. And LA to him is like easily the most fascinating and interesting and weird city that he's ever lived in. And so a couple of years ago, he started just doing research on like, why is LA the way that it is? And he sort of tells the narrative of like what makes LA just the weirdest place on earth from the perspective of like homeless people and interviewing immigrants who have come from different parts of the world, or interviewing really rich people or people who are trying to like make it, you know, big as like a celebrity. And there's just all these people you meet like along the way in that book that he does these personal interviews with. And it's very anecdotal. And I mean, it makes you think a lot about like, I mean, there's a lot of probably parallels to other international cities that you could draw yeah. as well. But yeah, that's kind of on tap for me right now.
That's a really good mix. It's a good range too. A lot of different yeah. kind of things that you're hitting there. I'm not a huge reader. I constantly want to get better at that. We've talked about it on this podcast many times before. But what I'll shout out right now is I really, really like, there's a guy named James Andrew Miller, and he does the oral histories. He's very, that's what he's most well known for. And so I'm a huge SNL kind of historian and fan. So the one about SNL that he did was really good. I've not read Powerhouse, which is about, CAA, the Creative Artists Agency, and about mm-hmm. like, you know, Hollywood agents. And then he obviously did Those Guys Have All the Fun, which was the ESPN one. But the one that just released late last year that I need to pick up and start getting through is called Tinderbox. And it's all about how HBO just like pursued this new frontier of television and entertainment. And so it's kind of the oral backstory of how HBO became HBO. And so that one's at the top of my list. And
good list, man.
I've just enjoyed all of his stuff. Last thing entertainment. What about podcasts? Any other podcasts that you're digging right now outside of Club Cool, of course, which,
of course, yeah.
You know, which is obviously, it's number
yeah,
one.
I this is actually one area where I notoriously suck with keeping up
yeah.
with podcasts. I don't know, for whatever reason, it's like podcasts don't really feel like they have an easy way to be discovered and found. I mean, I know that you can, you know, there's Spotify and Apple and whatever, like all the different platforms, but like,
it's tough. It's really tough.
I don't find that like as a consumer, I'm like sitting on those platforms scrolling in the same way that I'm scrolling for stuff on Twitter or on Instagram. Right. And so like, I've always found it tough to find pods, and maybe I just don't follow enough of the people who are doing interesting stuff. But having said that, I mean, there's kind of the usual stuff, the TF, the Throwing Fits guys, I will listen to on occasion, depending on who they're interviewing. There's, you know, and some of it's like menswear focused too, the Blammo guys, like what Jeremy Kirkland's doing. I think he has a really cool pod setup and interviews a lot of interesting people. There's Chris and Jason from the How Long Gone pod out in LA. And they interview all kinds of people like Lena Dunham and Allison Roman, the chef, New York, all kinds of folks like that I find are fascinating. And they just sort of like, there's sort of a comedic approach to it. They just shoot the shit with whoever they're interviewing. And I like that approach. And then, yeah, I mean, flipping gears too, I also use like, you know, some psychology listens to like some of the Ram Dass stuff, the late Ram Dass. I love his, I don't know. I just love the way that he thinks, has a lot of interesting stuff to say. And yeah, that's kind of my setup. What about you?
Man, you keyed in on a really good point, which is that like podcast discovery is very difficult. And it's, I think about why that is. Yeah. And when you're flipping around on Spotify, it's very easy to check something out because you can do it very passively. And it takes like, you know, max 5 minutes of your time basically to kind of listen to and digest a track. Mm-hmm. I think that's like the biggest thing with podcasts is that it requires a little bit more of your active attention. And so you need like a commute or a drive or something that you're doing at work that doesn't like require your kind of full attention to kind of really be able to like listen and decide if it's something that's for you. And then like beyond that, like there's not a great place to, you know, I think that word of mouth is typically the best. Like that's how generally like is what people value the most as far as recommendations for podcasts. And then we've obviously like just been like inundated over the past 2 years, and the pandemic just accelerated this with like every celebrity and actor and entertainer starting their own podcast. And so those obviously suck up like a lot of the attention and a lot of the dialogue as well. And a lot of those podcasts are not very good. And so I don't know how to fix that, but it's an interesting point. And also a great spot to ask you guys, our listeners, to just share with your friends that are also, you know, interested in this type of stuff, lifestyle, pop culture, you know, fashion, all of that we're out here doing what we're doing and that they should check us out. But to answer the question, I typically check out podcasts like pretty much anything from the Ringers network of podcasts. I'll give a listen to. I like Bill Simmons during NFL season, but not during any other sports season. And that's really my mix. I'll also throw in Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History, which after Serial and like S Town was like the first kind of like, you know, big deal podcast that I really got into and really like sucked me into podcasts in general. And then I like branched out and found the sports and entertainment ones and all of that. But I'm actually, I don't want to say that I dislike listening to interviews, but they're not my favorite type of podcast. I prefer and, you know, to listen to stuff like we're doing here, which just like generally two people kind of talking about something that they love and something that they know about a lot. And then when there are guests, those guests are kind of like mixed into the conversation rather than like one-on-one, you know, kind of interview styles like Rogan, for example. I don't get a lot of enjoyment out of that typically.
Yeah. So. I feel that, man. I mean, I actually do kind of enjoy interview formatting, but I also like to mix it up as well. I think like having a healthy balance of both is like, makes things nice. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, that was perfect. I feel like I know you better. So I think that our listeners would feel the same way. We'll jump into some listener questions and prompts here, but first let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break and hear from sponsors. Support for the Club Cool podcast is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming. Their fourth generation performance package absolutely changed the grooming game, along with their refined body wash, which really rounds out your hygiene routine. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for their shower time routine by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code CLUBCOOL. I mean, have you even smelled this Manscaped Refined Body Wash yet? It's really subtle. It's really nice, though. You're going to love it. The ladies love it. Your partner will love it. Everybody in your life will just be like, oh, man, that guy smells good. What's he using? It's the new Manscaped Refined Body Wash. You're just going to feel fresh and clean. It's a great way to start off your self-care routine with the ultimate body wash. Then keep the grooming game going with that Performance Package 4.0. Here's what's inside. You're going to get the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all of those goodies. It's the whole kit and caboodle. You probably know about the Lawnmower trimmer already. It's got all of the highest technology, 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch. This new one has a 4,000K LED spotlight, which you can turn on and off as well. You know, it's just top-of-the-line stuff. But the Weed Whacker, that's the hidden gem here, because if you're like me, you know, you push into your 30s, get up there, and suddenly you notice that nose and ear hair, that's a real thing, and you got to take care of that as well. You got to stay trimmed up and well-groomed. It's a huge deal to have that included in here. The Weed Whacker, it's waterproof, just like the lawnmower is. It's got a 9,000 RPM motor, whole bunch of cool features on that as well. So just get the whole thing. Get that Performance Package 4.0 and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CLUBCOOL at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code CLUBCOOL at manscaped.com. Keep everything trimmed, fresh, and clean with Manscaped. Today's podcast is also brought to you by Uncommon Goods. Uncommon Goods has thousands of meaningful gifts, one-of-a-kind stuff across a huge range of categories, something that you're going to love, something that anybody in your life, if you need a gift, will love. They have hundreds of gifts, a bunch that you can even customize based on who you're buying for, whether that's a parent or a sibling or a partner or a loved one or a best friend or literally anybody. They've got something for everybody. They have such a wide variety. They've got experience as well. It's not limited to objects, but you know, there are cooking classes. There are mixology courses. There's map making. There's so much to find. There's personalized art. There's fine jewelry. There's cool coasters that also double as utility tools. Stuff for the home. Stuff for the bar. They've literally have everything. Uncommon Goods, they look for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They've got the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $2.5 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/clubcool. That's uncommongoods.com/clubcool for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. All right, Clayton, we're back. Next up on our list today is some questions and some prompts that we fielded from our group chats and our Discords and our Instagrams and our listener base and our audience. And got some good ones in here. So let's just dive right in here. I've broken these up into two sections. The first section is going to be asking us questions about our own personal style, and then the second half of the questions will be a little bit more general, and we'll be able to give like some broader answers, I think. But let's start here. Let's rewind the clock. And Clayton, can you tell us in your past what are some style choices or phases that you're most embarrassed about, and where can we see the pictures?
Oh man. Well, there's probably too many to count. but one in particular stands up as probably my most embarrassing style moment. And we could probably make that the cover photo of this week's pod.
Okay.
If you all really want to see it. But yeah, this was I must have been 19 or 20. It was in New York City. I had a blog at the time called Brothers in Craft. This was like pre-Instagram, influencer stuff. Like it was very early stage for, we're sort of coming out of like the blogging era, right? Like blogging 1.0, Tumblr 1.0, like all of that. And so, I was a college kid trying to figure out my own style and had zero clout, didn't really know anybody, was trying to like sort of force my way into a conversation around fashion and style, and wound up at New York Fashion Week when it used to be at Lincoln Center and wasn't even really men's focused at the time either. It was really more focused on women's collections, right? And showed up with a pair of red pants, like bright flaming red pants, black Chelsea boots, a button down with a camo tie, and overcoat, like a khaki overcoat that I borrowed from my roommate, and a purple, like maroon-ish briefcase. And I think I had like super fucking long, like sideburns at the time. There was a point in history where I just didn't understand like grooming. I didn't understand personal style, but I genuinely thought that like this was my moment to get like shot on street style, right?
Yeah, and you so were just peacocking to the max, just hoping that
I was sort of like, yeah, floating and peacocking my way over to these photographers, and I couldn't figure out why they were all like trying to get away from me. They're all just sort of like turning the shoulder while I was trying to strike up a conversation. And I just think it was probably a moment of like ignorant confidence, which, you know, props to me for being innocent and naive like that. But yeah, that was definitely probably the most embarrassing moment that I've had.
Yeah. Man, I'm trying to think of something that I've definitely shared some of mine, on previous pods. So I'm trying to think of something that I haven't mentioned before, or something that I just recently thought of, or even something that like is now, you know, is kind of recent, like even within the last few years that I've looked back on and just kind of cringed at myself. And I'm not sure if I've mentioned this one before, but I probably have. But it stands out to me as it within the last like 6 years. One is that I've always really liked leather anything, you know, big leather jacket fan. I've dabbled in leather pants before and will continue to do so. But there was a minute there in 2015, 2016 where we were just throwing leather on everything, on tops. There were leather shorts. There were leather ball caps. It was all over the place. And I had a really bad, like, kind of mixed materials, neoprene and leather top from 3.1 Philip Lim. And it's not that it was a bad shirt per se. It's that I had no business wearing it.
I'm close, like, just look, you know, I'm for certain people.
Yes, exactly. And here I am, you know, like 5'8" white dude with like, you know, very generic white dude hairstyle. Right. And I'm like rolling around West 6th Street in a, you know, in a leather, like, you know, geometric looking, neoprene mixed material top. And there's a photo from that evening, and it's not good. I wish I hadn't worn it,
but yeah, that takes me back a little bit to the neoprene stuff, even now, like mid 20 teens or whatever.
There was a lot of that.
So many brands were fucking with that type of fabric and whatever.
Yeah.
That's not something to be super.
But it's a good segue to just like to talking about some of this personal style stuff, because, you know, I have interest in lots of different looks and genres and aesthetics and all that. And it's something that you can kind of like easily forget about is, you know, it's not as easy as like buying a bunch of Rick Owens and putting on a bunch of Rick Owens and being like, now I'm a Rick Owens guy. Like you really have to think about your overall presentation and your look and your hair and like what you're doing with everything else as well. And I think that's what stands out to me most about the photos from that one evening that I got that kit off is like, just the rest of what I was doing was not vibing with that shirt, and that was the biggest issue. And that's a good segue to this next question, which is in a few words or more than that, how would you describe your own personal style?
That's always a weird one to answer just because
it's a hard
one. I don't really as a classic millennial male, I don't really like to, you know, define myself by by any genres. I'll remain genreless, but you know, in reality, I mean, I'm still trying to figure this shit out for myself, honestly. Like, I feel like attaining good style or having good style or having someone tell you that you have good style is all stuff that just like takes a long time. But, you know, one thing that I have noticed probably about myself over the years, and even still, like maybe a common thread, if you will, is like just having an interest in different, like mixing and matching different genres. And we've talked about this, I think, on the pod before too. Like, for instance, I just bought a pair of camo cargo pants from a surplus store, and I was wearing the camo cargo pants with a rugby shirt and a pair of yellow socks and some Birkenstocks, like clogs, and like a beanie or like a baseball cap
and a bright red tie and really long sideburns.
Long fucking sideburns. But I don't know, like that to me is like, I won't call it like a mix of high and low, but it's definitely a juxtaposition of pieces that I don't know. I'm always interested in that. Or like if I'm going to wear, you know, a pair of like tailored wool trousers, maybe I'd throw like a denim jacket on it. Or like, you know, if you're going to wear something that feels a little more street, mix it up with something a little bit more like, you know, tailored on top. Like the mixing of genres to me is something that I've always, you know, been interested in. And, you know, it's, I think probably what makes it harder to define. So that's kind of me, but what about you?
So I tried to like, and, you know, I sometimes think about this and I can try to pare it down into a few words and usually like what I circle around, what I kind of narrow in on is something like trend in sport driven contemporary. Just to kind of elaborate on that a little bit, I think contemporary is probably my favorite word to toss around. And that's one that I learned when I was working at, Barney's co-op in Austin here in 2012 or 13. And it was or both those years. And it was like the distinction as contemporary as kind of like this space that was right below, that was below designer, was what, it's below what, you know, you're seeing from Fendi and Chanel and Gucci and Dior and Louis Vuitton and all your like really traditional runway brands, but it's above it, you know, and it's at an elevated space from what you'd shop for in your run of the mill department stores like Dillard's or Macy's or your mall brands like J. Crew and Banana Republic. And so it was a space that I really like gravitated towards. And for the last decade, that's where like I would say like the majority of my wardrobe has always kind of come from that type of space, whether that was like, you know, Rag & Bone or Theory or Vince or like those types of brands, or then other ones that are a little bit more niche that we talk about today, like John Elliott or Reese Cooper or Amelie Andor, which obviously leans over into the streetwear scene, but is still doing like this like very contemporary thing where it's not really these are not super directional looks necessarily like you see on a runway, but they're also they go beyond your kind of your normal mainstream stuff, and so that's it's a extremely broad term that doesn't do a good job of like painting a picture really, but it does do I think a good job of describing like the ballpark within which you want to play. And then I throw the trend and sport driven words in front of those because, you know, I'm always active. So I always have an interest in performance wear in general, whether that's, you know, the current wave of Gorpcore or trends that are inspired by tennis or golf or basketball or whatever it might be. And then, I mean, I'm the first to tell you that I do follow the trends. I do like things that are trending. And so that could be the Japanese Americana influence of Visvim and engineered garments, or it could be the streetwear kind of hype stuff like Amelie Ondour or Noah or the skateboarding stuff, Nike Dunks and all that. So it's just that, but I hear what you're saying too. And I like, you know, I'm definitely like mashing stuff up on a daily basis as well. But, yeah. But yeah, that's my best description.
I like that. I like that. And I can see it for you too. And, I don't really have anything else to add.
Well, let's kind of get a second kind of bonus question in here then. What's inspiring you most in your 2022 fashion journey? And just to add to that, that way you kind of think like, you know, just if you can add a little detail to maybe what you're looking forward to trying out this year. You know, I think we both kind of describe what our overall style is looking like right now, but maybe something specific you're looking forward to trying, and then something that you're maybe deriving like inspiration from in the moment and going forward this year.
Yeah, I'm probably drawing stylistic inspiration from just color in general right now. So wanting to be a little more colorful.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, a lot of pop colors and kind of more saturated 90s kind of polo, Tommy Hilfiger 100%. Stuff.
Yeah, I think that'll kind of make a little bit of a wave and come back with regards to like the preppy stuff that we're seeing as well. So being a little more playful with the color, I think is great. In terms of like fit, I personally love like how Japanese and like UK brands or stylists are kind of like crafting their own fits a little more loosely, a little bit more baggy, not like crazy baggy, because I think there's probably like a little, I mean, there is like that whole, I think, corner of the internet that like loves ultra baggy everything, but I think just having something like very loosely and flowy, like tapered, I'm drawing a lot of inspiration from like the Japanese magazine stuff, like Popeye magazine, for example, or we've talked about L'Etiquette, the French magazine. Those two magazines right there to me are like style, like, I don't know, style icons in terms of just like how to be thinking about
what you wear,
you know, seasonally. So if y'all are interested in those two outlets, I think that's like, those are the people editorially who are probably just doing the best job right now. And there's a whole world of inspiration you can pull from that stuff alone.
Yeah. Those kind of Canoe Club, out of Boulder, like,
love that
sells, you know, they like stock those magazines, which I think is really cool. And it's, if you ever pick anything up, if you pick a garment up from them or anything, just like throw one of those in there for $15 and they're definitely fun to just have on the coffee table and kind of flip through. One of our listeners that I talk to pretty regularly, he just like threw up on his stories a post from, excuse me for the sound effects there, from Visvim today that was, the designer whose name is slipping my mind and I don't want to botch it. is it Hiroki? Yeah. Hiroki, styling, on their set. And I think what I flagged was that like, I was more interested in what he was wearing than what like the models he was styling were wearing.
Yeah.
Cause it's a far more practical way to wear the clothes, right? Like one is for editorial and one is actually for real life. And so I that's something that I've always, and I've always looked at that too. Like I always like seeing when designers come and give their bow after a runway show, I like to see what they're wearing, what Teddy is wearing outside, hanging outside of the shop on Mulberry there, or what like the store employees, how they're actually wearing it as opposed to how the lookbook is all styled. And so it just kind of like the guys behind the guys, I feel like is kind of a good place to pull inspiration from, where, you know, the lookbooks and campaigns and editorials are always like,
yeah,
really easy, but it's like, you know, you peel back that curtain a little bit, and it's like that then you get to some of the nitty gritty stuff that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, the same thing is true for me with music, where it's like you always want to know who's the artist's artist, you know, like who do the musicians listen to, and understanding how they think. Yeah, the same is kind of true with clothing too, where it's like I draw a lot of inspiration from the work that the L'Etiquette guys are doing in Paris, and just this whole community of like menswear brands and designers and stylists and photographers, and like they're so fucking cool and effortless about everything. And I genuinely think that it feels different, right? And so I love that sentiment a lot. That's a great place to look for inspiration.
And as far as like what I want my overall style to look like, again, you know, I think that it's not really one specific look for me, but more of like something that I'm a goal that I'm, you know, or a level that I'm attaining. I talked a little bit about this last year, I think, but the way that I test whether I'm like reaching that is essentially like, if I'm getting packed for a 3-day trip, let's say, and you know, the longer the trip is, the harder the test is, basically. But like, how easy is it for me to pack? How easy is it for me to like just go into my closet without trying a bunch of shit on, and like just being like this, and that's all going to work together the way I want it to, and I know it's all going to work like proportionally, and the pants will all work with the shoes that I want them to work with. And it's like that's the game that I'm constantly playing. And the antithesis to that, the opposite of that, is where you like, well, it's this one pair of pants that I have goes with this one pair of shoes that I have. Mm-hmm. And those are the only, and like those two things are the only way I can make either one of those garments work.
This is interesting, man. For me, it's the opposite, right? With traveling, it's like the shorter the trip, the bigger the challenge. because it's like, and maybe this alludes to like what my goal would be for style, and probably this should be just like a lifelong goal, but like, how do you get to a point with your own clothing and the way you dress and think about style where you can sort of interchange any top with any bottom with any pair of shoes, and it all just sort of fits like effortlessly. And not to say that everything like matches, it's not supposed to necessarily match, but like the vibe, the energy of it all feels like it's there. Right. It does what it's supposed to do. And I think that's really like the hard part about me with like short trips, is like, you can't really plan outfits per se, but like, could you trust that like the different pieces are going to work together if you had to draw them out of a, you know, a hat or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's, that's an ever, you know, floating before you goal, you know, it's very hard to achieve that
100%.
Fully. So that's, you know, it's always a work in progress. But speaking of those individual pieces, what's next on the list for you? Like what are you looking at right now? What's high on your wish list? What's a grail? What's one of your grails right now? Give me something in that realm.
I need some overshirts. I need probably some thick overshirts right now. I love the one that you've got on right now, that no one can see. That's what I'm looking for. Probably a pair of carpenter pants. I'm looking for, if it's a grail, yeah, probably some carpenter pants that don't feel like too stiff. Maybe there's a little bit of like flow to them. I need to pick up some new Balances, honestly.
Yep.
That's going to be probably on the list. I don't know, man. Like, I've got these, probably the most basic of like the 993s, obviously, but you can't beat the versatility of the Dad Sneaks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, so that's probably some stuff on my list for right now. I'm not really trying to go, we're kind of already through winter, so I don't really want to try to like make that
right
investment. You know, in a big outerwear piece or anything, but I could probably use with some more knits. There's a great Japanese brand that I just bought from, actually on Canoe Club, Anonymousism. Mm-hmm. Dude, their stuff is so good.
Did you? So that's, we've talked about Anonymousism a lot for their, you know, obviously their expertise in socks, But they I just saw this season that they were doing like knitwear and caps and that type of thing. So it's cool to see them branch out. Did you try one of the sweaters?
I did. I bought their blue, like thick rib knit, you know, collar sweater. It had like the yellow patch on it.
Sweet.
On the arm, like, yeah, super badass.
Yeah. Cool to see how they continue to expand, into clothing, man. Yeah. My hunt is pretty much like always next on my list is I need to find the right pair of light wash denim jeans. I don't have a pair that I'm in love with right now. And it's a constant search. So that's really at the very, very top of my list. I don't know what I would say for a grail right now. I don't think I have anything like that. You actually mentioned it kind of being like past this kind of towards the end of the season for outerwear, but there were some days in January where I didn't feel like I had the right piece of outerwear. For like, so like the gap that I was finding was like, I've got a Canada Goose, you know, parka or whatever, but that's really overkill for like those like 35 degree days here, especially since we're, you know, in Austin, we're never really
flex on us a little more. Why don't you?
I'm walking to and from my car basically, but then everything else that I have was like a little too lightweight. You know, just like a throw on fleece or something like that. So that's where I was looking, and you know, it's nice to buy off season sometimes because of the sales and the discounts that you can find. But you don't want to buy something that you're going to get to wear once. Yeah. It's always tough too. But that was on my mind as far as grails is like looking at kind of like minimal down puffers from Snow Peak or. There was one from Y3 that I really, really liked. And so, you know, my head was going in that direction as well, but those are typically investment purchases as well. So they'd probably qualify.
I'm actually probably going to get a suit at some point this year. We talked about like Jay Muser, Drake's, Sid Mashburn. Those are all great options, but I got a couple weddings in the pipeline that I'm potentially preparing for. So that's kind of another more practical, but like, who knows, maybe you fuck around and wear it, you know, on the streets of Nashville down Broadway or something.
Hell yeah. Let's jump around here, get to some others before we run out of time. I think that kind of wraps it up for the personal style question. So let's get into some things that are a little bit broader. I liked this one and I wanted to see if you had any good answers for us. Are there any brands pulling inspiration from anywhere in Latin America? Disney's pushing Colombian styles with Encanto for the kids. And I know some brands did some linen collections in 2019 that were inspired in Mayan culture. Mm-hmm. But what else, have you seen out there that's inspired by Latin America or from south of the border?
Shit. That's a great question that I don't have a good answer for.
The one that I came up with, and I felt I did a little research on the brand and then felt a little weird about them was there's a brand that's like completely inspired by Rio de Janeiro and the paddleboard game that they play there in Rio called Frescobol, and it's Frescobol Carioca is the brand, and they, you know, it's really like, while they do derive like a lot of their inspiration from kind of Brazilian beach culture, it's very much like just resort wear, you know? So it's patterned swim trunks and they do the bats, the game bats. And then like, you know, terry toweling knits and like a little bit of, you know, light sweaters and that type of thing. But it's very much just like kind of like rich guy resort wear at the end of the day. And then the further I investigated it, like realize that it's like just two British guys that are behind the brand. So then you like have the question of like, well, are they just kind of like plundering the Brazilian culture for their own benefit? And I don't have the answer. I'm not saying that they are or they aren't.
I wanted
to find something that was like a little bit more authentic. And I was kind of striking out, which is sad because, you know, I can name like, you know, Nicholas Daily or Mami Wata are two really cool brands that are, you know, African, you know, very much like Afrocentric, pulling from that culture and have the credentials to back it up as well. And, you know, obviously, like, we got European brands for days, but I couldn't come up with anything, you know. I needed more time to do research on where we can find good Latin
American actually, it's kind of once this makes me want to put myself on a hunt. And look for some of these brands. I mean, the one thing that I think is probably pretty obvious is like brands designing and making Huarache sandals. You know, I don't actually know if that's specifically Mayan or if that's just part of like Mexican culture, but you know, Knickerbocker has done it. Nisolo has made their own Huarache. I mean, there's all kinds of brands that are doing that at this point, but that's like a specific piece that does stand out to me as like, you know, drawing inspiration from Central American, you know, Mexican culture, that kind of thing.
Well, that's a good one for the listeners to kind of hit us up with any that they know about.
Hit us up with brands or any products specifically, because that's actually something I want to do more research on for Spreza.
Okay, how about this one? This one's pretty specific. What's your favorite not so basic sneaker that goes with every look? I know that last month you mentioned your kind of renewed interest in Adidas Sambas and Gazelles. Mm-hmm. But maybe throw another one out there if you have one, or maybe what's the wife feeling right now? What kind of sneakers is she into? What about some women's options if you got any?
Man, she actually just got a pair of like low top Uggs.
Uggs are like suddenly kind of low key back.
They're definitely back. I think like, I don't know if it's Kendall Jenner or Bella or, you know, Gigi or whoever's been like wearing them. And then now a bunch of like influencer girls, but there's this specific type of like low top. I can't remember the name of Uggs, but they look super comfy and they like thick, chunky, like soles platforms to them. So she's been rocking those. For me, man, you can never go wrong with like, yeah, the Gazelles and the Sambas, but also some Stan Smiths. Like, that's just one that I feel like is like maybe some people view as basic and certainly they're like pretty mainstream, but I just, you know, you can't ever go wrong. Tree Torns are actually also pretty comfortable too.
Okay.
Those are a pair of like pretty, I would consider them pretty basic. They actually used to be like cheerleading shoes. So women would wear them back in the day, like cheerleading for like football games and stuff. But I've owned a bunch of Tree Torns over the years and super comfortable. The Vans Old Schools, can't go wrong with those either.
Yeah, the Vans, I had a really nice run this summer in the Vans Epoch LX. And then I was also really attracted to their Style 36 LX, which is kind of like a little bit more refined take on the Vans Old School. And that's the model that that Notre out of Chicago is using for their collab, which at air of this podcast might be out, but I'm not sure. I can't remember the exact release date, but whether you're interested in that collection or not, the Style 36 from Vans is another cool one. For women, this sneaker, again, this is the one that I really like that I've been drawn to recently, is kind of basic, just as far as its simplicity, but it's the Nike Daybreak. Which comes in like lots of really, really simple neutral colorways that will literally go with everything. But also there's plenty of color. There's plenty of, you know, there's plenty of pop swooshes to, you know, get a little bit more personality in the mix. And, I think we've really covered the bases for the men's, whether it's, you 100%. Know, any of the 990, 999, whatever from New Balance. Everything that you just mentioned is good, and I'm trying to think if I've got anything else that warrants a mention, but yeah, I think we've kind of covered some good ones there. Man, let's see, Clayton, I think we're gonna wrap it up there. We're at about time, and I'm just going to save the rest of these for another pod, man.
We're talking machines, Barrett. We're just, you know.
Once we get going, you can't stop us. You can't put a lid on us.
this is not the worst thing to have things to talk about on the pod.
Yeah, so, we'll keep a few more of these in the tank. And we got here. We got to an hour quick. So thank you everybody for listening.
Yeah, we'll save them for a future pod. And we covered a lot of bases though.
We did. So thanks for listening. Clayton, always good to have you, man. Stay warm there in Nashville. I'm not sure how much inclement weather you're dealing with, but clean that grease trap on the Traeger, obviously.
Yep.
We got to see your pizzas. We got to have you making Zaz out there.
Here's to hoping for the uni by springtime.
By springtime. So. Yeah, absolutely. And that'll do it for us today. Go check us out. Go check out Clayton's newsletter, spreza.xyz. Hit us on the gram at Club Cool Pod. And that's it, man. We'll be back very soon.
See you next time.
Adios.